Johnny and I are going to talk about the subject of prophecy and the prophetic. This is such an interesting topic, even in our home, because for years, Johnny has been, you know, perceiving the voice of the Lord regarding big picture things. And, you know, I remember even during the last election, watching the results of the election come in and wondering, you know, everybody's worried about who the president's going to be. And all I could think about is, am I married to a false prophet or not? You know? And so we've had a lot of conversations over the years about, of course, the prophetic gift, and it's our passion to see all believers walk in their prophetic gifting. And so we've done a lot of training in that area. We also have tried to grow personally in that, and the level of influence and places of that our voice is heard. We've tried, both of us in our own ways, to really be stewards over those relationships and those situations and seek the Lord for what He might want to speak through us.
Yeah.
But then we have these deeper conversations like, what is a prophet? Are you a prophet? Am I married to a prophet? Am I a prophet because I prophesy? And we're not going to pretend to, you know, unpack the entire subject here, but we could start with, what do you believe about the prophetic in general, and specifically, what about the prophetic in this season in our generation and in the body of Christ?
Yeah. Well, you know, so I guess I'll share what my, call it my personal philosophy on the prophetic is. There are different ones out there. You know, first of all, as you know, I've never introduced myself as prophet. I've never called myself that.
Let me say, I'm so glad that you don't, but I am glad you have a prophetic gift and calling and office, et cetera.
And I've been called prophet in multiple settings, multiple nations, whatever. But there's a reason I have a hesitancy to call myself that. And I don't knock anybody who does or doesn't do it. But there's an understanding, even for myself, that the Lord has used it, the prophetic gift, dramatically, and making declarations even over nations that have taken place virtually immediately, and discovering treasures and speaking with a mayor of a city or leader of a city and saying, hey, there's going to be gold mines here and silver mines and salt mines and lost city of the Incas. And there's been, I have, you know, on record, multiple of these situations that have really borne out as the way it works for me is, when it happens, I go, wow, that was amazing. And but I'm not amazed until it happens. Up to that point, I'm just sharing something that I'm seeing.
Right.
And I don't have the certainty of it. That's, you know, part of understanding the way I'm wired. I guess my philosophy, or the way I'm wired with it, I'm sometimes just as greatly surprised as someone else when it actually happens. And it's it blesses me, because I'm like, oh, good, I actually saw something that was right.
And also you are definitely a prophetic voice in certain streams of the body of Christ. I know that through your Facebook and blogs, we release a lot of prophetic insight that you have regarding different issues or different regions, et cetera. And the Elijah List, a prophetic, what would you call that? They're more than just social media. Elijah List is
a prophetic platform.
Prophetic platform, yeah. They've picked up a lot of your prophetic words, and so they've gotten a lot of traction. And it's always humbling for us, and I would say for you, when you read the impact that they're having, and it causes you to, I mean, you've always taken it seriously, but the more people really listen and are influenced by the things that you share that you feel like are from God, you don't take that lightly. So I love it that you're going to share some of your philosophy on this.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a track record of, you know, I say around 25 years that I know of, where I will speak something, and then it'll bear out to be truth. On, you know, there's prophetic encouragement. Honestly, a whole lot of what comes out on the Elijah list, I say perhaps upwards of 90% of it is more prophetic. It's called a prophetic word, but it's really encouragement. It's perhaps even so vague that we don't even know if it was fulfilled or not. Sometimes I share along that line too,
right.
You know, when you have breakthrough and you're like, you're going to have breakthrough and it's worded in some kind of way. Well, it's like, what does breakthrough look like? Was that a breakthrough in their character advance, or was it a breakthrough in their finances?
Not like a concrete way to say it was a correct or incorrect prophetic word.
It's only when you like speak to somebody who's a candidate and say, you're going to be the next president, and or this is going to happen that way, or there's going to be this specific treasure discovered, or, you know, I'm going back around 25 years. I remember when I became aware, I literally thought to myself, I need to be careful of things I say, because we were in a church, and I remember it was Trujillo, Peru, and I got this scripture out of Isaiah, I'll make streams in the desert, and the place was in the desert. In fact, literally where the church was an area called Rio Seco, which is the dry river, and so there's no river there, and they hadn't had rain in hundreds of years. And I just shared, I said, I read that scripture, and I said to the Lord, I said, I saw a vision of this place literally being swept into the river of God. And so there was jubilation and celebration, and this is wonderful. And then 3 months later, the pastor calls me, and it was an El Nino phenomenon that year. And so they had flash flood. Mm-hmm. And the church was literally swept away in the river. And so he said, why didn't you tell me that it was literal what you're talking? I go, it was literal? I said, I had no idea it was literal. I just saw this picture and I stated it. So anyway, I have hundreds and hundreds of cases, testimonies, examples, some of them we've put in books and other things where we've seen the Lord do this, but I still have a great hesitancy in calling myself a prophet, because I'll look, and I may even be being generous, but I'll be aware that God has done much with it. But I was like, I'm saying, you know, I think I've told, I say, you know, about 80% of what I say, I've watched it fulfilled. And maybe 20%, either it wasn't the way I thought, or it didn't happen at all, or we're still waiting. And at times you're like, was that false? Was it the timing's off? What is it? In some cases, it just clearly has to be I misread it in some way. And so based on that, you know, I have, by missing it, it's enough to make you remain humble and in some capacity, and make you not want to just take the tag of prophet on, especially when there's misunderstanding in the body of Christ of what you do with somebody who calls himself a prophet. Mm. And because there's a high standard the body of Christ wants to put, and they apply an Old Testament standard to a prophet and say, well, if it doesn't happen, then you should be killed and stoned and whatnot. And so there's no sense volunteering for that. But, you know, I think there's so much we're learning as the body of Christ of how to be a prophetic people and the right culture for it. You know, it's something, again, interesting from Prophet Bob Jones, who taught so many of us many things. And he was also a prophet who saw in part. He missed it on a lot of big things he prophesied, but he was right on a whole bunch of things. And of course, the people, you know, you want to do a search on false prophets, he'll get listed there for that. And there's the people who, you know, they find anybody who gave a clear prophetic word. It's probably one of the reasons nobody wants to give a clear prophetic word. And somebody who gave a clear prophetic word and it didn't happen, and so they're false prophet from then on. And you have certain prophets that have them all logged on the internet, all their false prophecies. But Bob Jones had something years ago, he may have said it more than once, but that even the highest level prophet at the time, he says, was probably getting about, I think he said 66 2/3 correct, that they were being right, their accuracy level. And he said, really, that's as high as the body of Christ can take right now. Because if it increased, the level of accountability would be so high that we would see people dropping dead, as in when Ananias and Sapphira were around. When there's a higher move of God, there's a higher level of accountability. Hmm. And it's just, it wasn't my what something I said, but I like, I have to take that into consideration, that higher level of accuracy brings everyone into a higher level of accountability. And, you know, for the part of the body of Christ that want to put prophets under the high standard of, well, if you ever miss it, then you should be, you know, either spiritually killed or naturally killed. When you embrace that level of extreme accountability, then the flip side of that is, as the receivers, you're also under that. By that, I mean those who receive the prophetic word. It means if you do not go with a word, then you're subject to dying or not dying. Death can be released over you because you didn't take it as seriously as that, as you could have. And so I don't think either one of us want to live under that level of perfectionism. And if you go to the New Testament, it's clear Paul the apostle, who was taken into the third heaven, had revelations, and most of what he got was out of revelation from third heaven encounters and experiences. And he's the one in 1 Corinthians 13 said, well, we see in part, we prophesy in part. Then in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he says, now, you know, let two or three prophesy, let the rest judge. So there is clearly a different standard for the prophetic in the New Testament as opposed to the Old Testament. Old Testament, there was not Jesus in your heart. There was not the Holy Spirit. All the stuff that was made available through what Jesus did on the cross, him ascending into heaven, sending the Holy Spirit to be the Spirit of truth that can teach us, all those factors were not there. So there did have to be a level of accountability that was increased. But he said, no, in essence, we're going to miss it at times, but it's okay, because the Holy Spirit's in you, and he will give you an if it's not him. And yet it will help you. It'll confirm things if you'll cherish it. And so I think there's a proper cherishing of the prophetic that the Lord wants to teach us. And that's what we're learning to step into. You know, I think it's perhaps Prophet Kim Clement. He got himself into the most, he's passed on recently, but he got himself into the most trouble for calling himself a prophet and then for going on the record on things. This is going to happen by this date, this person, and then some of them didn't happen. And so that directly puts you in the line of fire. But I appreciate him and appreciate what he wanted to do. And in that, I think just the final part I want to share on it, and then whatever interaction you have, Elizabeth, or questions, just make this more simple and short perhaps, is, you know, go into why do we miss it as prophetic voices, and whether you're just trying to hear God on your own, it's like, why do we miss it? Why do prophets miss it? Why do prophetic people miss it? And so I think I have four pretty good reasons why we miss it. So these are just, I think, just helpful for our own information. And again, it's just part of my philosophy on the prophetic. Number one reason we miss it and we're wrong is because we see in part and we prophesy in part, just what we're talking right about from 1 Corinthians 13. And we have a mix. We have our preconceived ideas and notions, and we have a mix between what the Holy Spirit's pouring in and what our own thoughts are there. You know, I tell people, to the degree you already had preconceived notions on a matter, to that degree, you better be more suspect about what you just received. I tie it into, you know, like coffee grounds. When you have a coffee maker, there's the coffee grounds you have in the top there, and there's your ground coffee, and then there's water being poured in.
Right.
But what comes out, even though water's pouring in because of your own coffee grounds, what comes out is coffee. And so I think often the Holy Spirit is pouring something into us, and we ask him and he pours, but we have so many of our own grounds that what comes out is not necessarily, it's inspired by what he poured, but it comes out in a mixture of something. And to the degree we have less of our own coffee grounds, to that degree it's more like the original purity. And to the degree we have more of our own stuff, it comes out distorted. And so we can distort it in all kinds of ways, and we can have be we can be so confident from our last man, last time I went on the record and said, thus saith the Lord, and this happened, and it was right on. And yet the next time we're doing that same thing, but we just blow it because on that time we went with all kinds of assumptions of our own. So number one, because we see in part. Number two, if it's a bad prophetic word and or a prophetic word of judgment, we know biblically even that if there's a repentance, then that changes it. It's like Jonah came into the Ninevites, those from Nineveh, and said within 40 days it's all done. He didn't even say, if you repent. He's just like, you're done for. You're cooked, toast, hang up. You know, it's done for. And yet they repented from the top to the bottom. Apparently his incredible anointing on him is like there was a believability factor when perhaps the seaweed hanging out of his mouth and the smell of whale stomach juice on him that also caused him to respond. But somehow they said from the leader to, you know, they all repented. And so there was no judgment on them.
Which then made him look like a false prophet.
Right. And which was his concern afterwards. He's like, you always have mercy. And I go and I say these things and they don't happen. You make me look bad. And so God's not trying to make a prophet look good, particularly when it's bringing in a correction or a judgment. So number two reason is people make the adjustment necessary for that not to happen. Number three, if there's a good prophetic word, it's similar to number two. I think if people don't repent to the prophetic word, it can sabotage the prophetic word. And example of that is the children of Israel. The Lord calls Moses and he says, Moses, I'm coming, I've descended, I'm taking you and this people, I'm taking you into the promised land. Yet that whole generation, including Moses, did not. And the Lord later on says, they did not enter because of their evil heart of unbelief. Mm-hmm. So God is not a false prophet, but he made a prophecy that did not happen. And there's a whole nother thing is that no prophecy ever dies. And so what didn't work for them, it went on to the next generation, particularly a word from God. It goes somewhere when it's in agreement with heaven. But it's a reality that, you know, if God can be a false prophet, then we might have to, we're not really going to stone him for that. And it's that it was part of a prophetic word is an invitation to believe something and to cooperate with it, to repent to it, not repent the other kind of repentance. And so I think that's something we have to be aware of as the body of Christ. I think really many things that Kim Clement spoke that too many in the body of Christ went into, well, we'll see. They went into we'll see mode. And if you have a majority of people go into we'll see mode, it's like, again, with Caleb, he says, we can go now and take the promised land. And they're like, no, we can't. And so they voided something and they delayed 40 years in entering into the promised land. The next generation essentially had to do because of that. And I really think there are many things of God's grace over America. Even Kim Clement's last name, Clement, is mercy and grace, that there were things that could have been released, but we left them hanging to dry, so to speak. Oh, well, let's just see if he really is a prophet. He said these things. And we didn't understand how you can cooperate with the heart of God in a matter of prophetic word. And I think that's still what's out there a lot. We need to be aware of it. It's a part of the equation of prophetic accuracy.
Yeah.
And then finally, the fourth thing, a prophetic word cannot happen because the timing is missed. And and I believe that the hardest thing in the prophetic is timing. And to me, that's even for myself. I gave a word beginning of the year about the stock market. Well, first of all, about October of last year, before the election, I said, I see by March, the stock market going to 21,000. And that was, we were 3,500 away from that. That seemed like I don't think so. And again, the projections were, well, if Trump becomes president, we're going to lose that all these experts say how much the market was going to lose. And I say, he's going to be president because the Lord says he is. And the market's going to be 2,100 in March, 21,000. And it happened. It hit 21,000 in March. So then I said, well, this is just the beginning. I said, I saw October and it's say 27,000. And I had to put a disclaimer. I was like, I think that's this year, but it could be next year. And unfortunately, That's just the way I did. In the same way I saw the other, I saw October and I saw a 27,000. It looks right now where we're at, early September, and with all these storms, there's a lot of it. It looks difficult because we're not even 22 right now. It looks miraculously impossible to hit 27th, and it may not. I don't know. All I do is report on what I see. And but there's I had to say, somebody could say, well, why don't you need to be more definitive? Is it this year or is it next year? That's a big deal. I was like, well, that's as good as I see right now. And so that's my personal philosophy, is like, I have to be okay with the level of unclarity, if we call it that, of which I see things. I just know that there's a history of 25 years that it's profitable for me to go for things and say things that particularly that I know are from the heart of God, and I've seen them turn into really amazing thing. I think it's a little bit like baseball. It's like you swing at things, and we don't want to be, baseball players. A great baseball player is batting 300 and something, which means almost 70% of the time he is failing. Mm-hmm. But it's like he wants another opportunity to swing at it. And so I don't think the Lord wants us to be, he wants to be discouraged from swinging at things, but also, proper humility in there. Be careful how you're framing perhaps what you say, and thus saith the Lord, and all those things. We're supposed to speak with enough confidence. Let him who speaks speak as an oracle of God. So you don't want to say, well, this perhaps could be, maybe. You say something that just like it doesn't require any faith to connect to. It's like it's unlikely. So you have to say something according to the level of which you see it. But I think it's just part of this this whole learning curve we're going through in the prophetic. So anyway, I just thought I'd share my perceptions of myself plus my philosophy. And you have an amazing prophetic gift as well, and particularly for as it relates to individuals and people and people's hearts. And it's not that you can't see the macro. Often what I can see better is the macro, and the micro maybe not as well. But they're both super valuable, and they have their place. But we have to give. I think the Lord wants us to be in a place as the body of Christ to give each other room to grow and not put such severe standards on each other that we can't, take advantage of an amazing gift.
That's awesome. Well, I think that's great for people to hear, especially people that follow your prophecies, and it helps them kind of know where you're coming from personally as you are giving those prophetic words. Along those lines, I think they would be interested to know kind of how you hear and perceive, because you said over and over again, I say what I see, and yet I think it's super, super rare, if at all, you've had like an open vision or something that's just the writing on the wall, so to speak, and you're just literally repeating what you're hearing or seeing. It's more for you an impression, and would you say that's...
Yeah, there's... they come in different. I'll see a picture of something
on the screen of your imagination.
Yeah, kind of the screen. Yeah. And sometimes you see it. All I know how to say is with more veils, and sometimes with less veils. Sometimes it's.
And when you say see, you mean on the screen of your imagination. Like if I said the word apple right now, everybody can see an apple in their mind's eye.
Right, right.
That's where you get your prophetic insights.
And if we were to say a banana, the thing where you saw it shift there, that's that. And if I say a yellow banana, you see something with a color, a green banana. That screen is a screen the Lord will use for the prophetic. And then sometimes it's clearer than that. Like it's almost open vision, but there's a point where you actually gain confidence in your spirit. You see something, and something in like your knower goes off, and you go, oh, that is God. I'll often know the first time I say a prophetic word, I'll like, wow, I'll know more by how my declaration sounds to my spirit. And that gives me, I'll back it up and say more about it, or even restate it again afterwards. But it can be, you don't have to have seen an angel come down and open the scrolls. And some do see that way. There's all kinds of ways of seeing. You can see through one veil, no veil, or 10 veils, but it's still valid. way of seeing.
Well, I'll just close. I know we're running out of time. Just kind of my perception on where we are in the body of Christ with the prophetic, really with all the gifts of the Spirit. I probably sound like a broken record on this one, but I always come back to the bigger picture of what is the point of all of this. And the point of it is there is a God who wants intimacy with his sons and daughters, and he wants to be known, because you can't have intimacy apart from mutual knowing of each other. And of course, he knows everything about every single one of us. He's very involved in every detail. Nothing slips past him concerning every one of our hearts and lives. And he wants us to know him like he knows us. And of course, it's going to take an eternity to know him. So there's this process of an invitation to a relationship with him through Jesus. But then there's the walking out of it. And in the Old Testament, you saw that walking out of his desire for intimacy with humanity by having prophets that were, their job was literally to hear and then speak exactly what was the heart of God for a situation or a people or a person, et cetera.
Right.
And that desire of his hasn't changed as it relates to the prophetic gifts and the office of prophet. It hasn't changed related to where we are in the body of Christ and our ability to clearly prophesy, whether we're talking individuals using their prophetic gift or people who we look to in the body of Christ as more of a true prophetic voice, maybe the office of a prophet. And that same goal of his is still there. It is that he would be known. And so I've noticed that and he's so thrifty. He does both at the same time. Like, he doesn't just use you as a man, as his son. He's using you as a prophetic voice. God doesn't, quote, use us. None of us are expendable. He can accomplish the things he wants to accomplish without us, but he loves doing it with us because, again, it's an excuse for relationship with that person. So he didn't say, I want Johnny and Lo to be a prophet in my generation. He had and has an ongoing relationship with you. And so out of that relationship with you, he says, hey, let's do some things together. Mm-hmm. I'd like for you to learn how to prophesy and how to so know my heart. But in that, he says, what are you interested in? Mm-hmm. And he knew how he wired you from a little boy, the things that would just kind of eat at you and make you very curious or very angry or very passionate. And I've noticed that that's where your prophetic giftings really kick in the strongest. Mm-hmm. The things that you feel passionate about God.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, one of the biggest prophetic stories that you have that we're not going to tell now, but it is of you in Peru and prophesying where things would be found that would literally change the economy of that entire nation. Mm-hmm. And that was like something greatly on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up as a little boy in that third world country, and you were immersed in that poverty. Your mm-hmm. family experienced mm-hmm. that poverty,
mm-hmm.
and you had a mandate on you and your siblings as well from what your parents even picked up in the
yeah.
spirit. And so all of those things converged together, your love for that country,
yeah.
your love to see the God of provision show up on someone's behalf in the midst of their poverty, your desire to know as a man, would God speak
oh, yeah.
through
yeah.
me?
That's good.
And would he show his kindness to someone else who hasn't even acknowledged that they need him yet?
Yeah.
And so all of that converged into God making himself known to you and therefore through you.
Yeah.
And I think that so many in our generation they're playing out their relationship with God through this gift of prophecy. He's going to begin to establish some of those more and more into maybe not us saying we are prophets, but people noticing and saying, I recognize you as a prophet because your prophetic gift is so strong and you being used so specifically to bring God's heart into a situation or a person's life, that you're operating in the authority of a prophet in your prophetic gift. So I just personally feel like there are people with prophetic gifts right now that just need to continue to allow themselves the freedom to have these conversations with God.
That's good.
And allow the things they're passionate about to play out in their prophetic. So if you're the kind of person that is more drawn towards big picture things, begin to ask God for insight and mainly for his heart regarding these issues, and then begin to speak what you hear. I love, you mentioned the Elijah list earlier in terms of a lot of what's on the Elijah list and other prophetic sources. They're mostly just words of encouragement. I think that's really important because when we begin to pick up on the heart of God and his hopeful perspective, then he can trust us with those bigger picture black and white things of this is going to happen by this date, because it's at that point, it's not an issue of am I a prophet or not? Am I right or am I wrong? We're simply doing what we've been doing all along, which is, God, you want to be known and your love needs to be displayed in this situation. And in order for it to happen, I need some black and white stuff right now.
Yeah.
And he'll meet you in that place and you'll begin to trust what you're hearing because he trusts you with his heart and his perspective in general over issues and things. And then, you know, like you said, for me, that really comes out with individuals because I relate more to that part of God's heart. I love God's heart in the bigger picture issues, and I feel passionate about that, but not in the same way that you do. I feel drawn to people that are hurting and that are wrestling within themselves over more of their heart issues and their individual stories. And so that's usually where my prophetic gifting kicks in more. And it can be pretty specific, you know, either it's right or wrong. Either you know a person with that name or you don't. And, or something God just showed me about you is either true or not. Yeah. I've been reading, and I haven't finished reading it yet, Sean Boltz's new book. We highly recommend his material on the prophetic. He's personally gone to a whole nother level with it. But in reading that, it's just reawakened in me a desire to want to carry God's heart and be to partner with him, to be on assignment with him in ways that he and I can speak into people's hearts, lives, and into situations. I'd like to grow into the bigger picture of, you know, we've been with people in high places of leadership that I've had some prophetic insight for. But again, it's been more on heart issues. Anyway, we're all growing in this. I love it that you've made yourself vulnerable and kind of shared where a little bit of your journey in that has been. And I just feel like I can speak on behalf of a lot of people that have been impacted by your prophetic voice that we're grateful for it. I read the emails that come in all the time. People are so grateful for how you aren't afraid to speak what you are perceiving. And you also aren't afraid to say if you're wrong and if you haven't heard correctly. And I just hope that you step out more and more in the gift that you have, because I believe that the body of Christ is hungry for more clarity. And in that, God might use you to help them learn how to forgive when you're wrong, you know? And and as the prophetic voices, we get the opportunity to give people chances to respond to the prophetic words and respond when we're wrong. And it's all a test for all of our hearts, you know, in the end.
That's so good. I think perhaps we'll do another. I was just thinking it'd be worth doing a whole nother podcast sometime on just, you know, there are prophetic voices of doom and gloom that are always there as well. And, you know, and I think it's worth tackling as a topic sometime. You know, we used to teach the church that you should be able to pick up the hope that's in a prophetic word by the second sentence, and if, second, third, whatever. And if you don't, you're probably not his list. You're not probably not a word from God you're hearing. It can be something that's in agreement with the second heaven. And unfortunately, we have, again, people that's all they do is talk about judgment, and they'll speak of earthquakes and storms, and they do it enough times, enough places, that just the law of averages is going to catch up with you at some point, because we have storms and earthquakes.
Meaning they're going to be right some, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's so vague, yeah. The word, but they feel that was a confirmation to them.
Yeah.
And it's such an Old Testament model as well. And I'm already going into a little bit, but I think it's worth having a whole discussion on that, and I really think the Lord wants us growing from that.
Yeah.
You know? And I know how it's empowered. I feel like the Lord showed me some reasons, you know, some of the understanding how that thinking gets empowered, and how some wrong understanding both of his heart and of the prophetic in general.
Yeah.
And so that could be good.
And the Old Testament, he really did have to give them words of warning or judgment, whatever you want to call them. It's to me, it's a reflection of the age of society at the time. Just like my 2-year-old, I'm going to correct them in public, but I'm not going to correct my 15-year-old in public. There's a relationship that grows. And so if God is addressing specific things that need correcting or adjusting in the thinking of his people in the Old Testament, by the New Testament, and certainly by now, he's very jealous over our individual ability to hear directly from him. And that doesn't mean we no longer need prophetic voices. It just means the prophetic voices have a different focus and a different agenda. And God still is very much correcting us and warning us, but he sent the Holy Spirit when Jesus returned to heaven so that we could each hear and recognize his voice of correction and love and adjustments that we have to make.
Yeah.
So there's so much more.
Right. And we started going into what we're saying in our next session, 1 Corinthians 14, he who prophesies, let him do it to exhort, edify, and comfort. So it kind of gives us parameters that are not the same parameters as the Old Testament. Like you said, the Old Testament, there wasn't, you could check with the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so there was a need for there to be a different level. And they were at a younger age, as it were.
Society,
the body of Christ, whatever. And so there was a need to be led in a different way. But all right, well, do you want to pray for people?
Sure.
All right.
Father, thank you so much for the gifts of your Spirit that you've made available to us, especially this one of prophecy. And we thank you for the prophetic voices that are growing among us, and we bless them. The ones that have been stepping out and have been wrong and have grown and become right, and those that are risking and really insisting on growing the body of Christ up into these gifts. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you want to speak to us. We want to hear, and we want to be able to recognize your voice and your perspectives from all the different places that you're constantly speaking. And give us ears to hear and recognize you. Give us hearts that perceive your heart, so that the words we speak on your behalf, that we attribute to you, those words would reflect your heart, and we reflect the things that you're focusing on in our generation.
Yes, Lord.
And we bless every person who's listening, their prophetic gift. You said that we would all prophesy.
Yeah.
And so we bless every one of you to grow in your ability to hear and recognize God's voice and to speak it in a way that would cause others to be filled with hope and with love and with joy and all the fruit of your Spirit. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.